It is 25 to 8 on this Thursday morning. It is RSN, The Breakfast Club, with Adam White, Scott Gallen and Adam Ramanaskis. It is time to talk netball now because the domestic season might be finished, but the international season still is well and truly in play. And Caitlin Thwaites is part of the Diamonds and she joins us this morning. Caitlin, hello.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're going very well, thank you. What, just preparing for this, did you just keep training through or did you have a couple of weeks off before you got into this? Because it does make a long season for you.
Yeah, it definitely is. We've kind of been going since we had the international tour at the start of the year in January, and then obviously our domestic season. We had World Cup in the middle of our domestic season, finished that, and then the Constellation Cup. So it's kind of, I guess, depended on where your specific team kind of went in terms of the finals. So those that finished up a little bit earlier managed to get maybe a little bit more time off. But the ones who kind of managed to get all the way through to the finals have just kind of kept ticking along. We had maybe 1 week of being able to just kind of do what you wanted. If you wanted to have a little bit of chill time, you could do that. But I guess in terms of that kind of, we talk about that training load, you don't want to kind of slack off for too long because then it's harder to get your body back up and ready to go. So we've just been ticking along and keep the training happening.
So when you look at your own situation, obviously it's fantastic to represent your country, but are you tired considering what you've gone through? It's been a significant year for you both internationally and domestically, or are you ready to go because you're playing for Australia and you can't be more excited?
Yeah, I think, probably at the end of the season, I was definitely feeling the, oh, I'm tired. I don't know how we're going to kind of get ourselves up. But as soon as, you know, the announcement happens and that sort of thing, it just gives you that, like, you kind of get that second wind, I guess. You get that, you know, the rush of adrenaline, of the excitement and the, I guess that motivation again to, right, we've got another thing to try and overcome and, you know, and get ourselves up for. So, I guess there's probably been a week of feeling that, oh, I'm exhausted and I'm tired and I just want to have a break. But, I think that probably lasted about a week for me. And then you get on to the next thing and get really pumped about it. So, I think we're all in that space of just being really, really hungry and ready to take on the next challenge.
So you got three games in a week and then the fourth match is a week apart. So it's almost like a little bit of tournament play over those first three games particularly.
Yeah. I think, you know, we're pretty used to that with the Constellation Cup type style. So we kind of get into a bit of a routine of, we have get to whichever city you're playing in, you have a couple of trainings, captains run before the game, we've got game day and then the following day is recovery and travel to the next destination and then, you kind of cycle through that for the first couple of games. So it'll be pretty fast paced the first three and then we get a little bit of a little bit more training time in between the third and the fourth game over in Perth. So it'll be nice to have some sunshine and beach to aid with that recovery as well.
Caitlin, the coach, I'm reading some quotes from the coach. She's not mucking around. She's saying I'm not just rotating. The rotation policy's out. It's game on. If I play the same players for the whole tournament, I do.
Yep. Well, I don't think there has ever been a rotation policy in the Diamonds. I think it's great the amount of depth that we've got in our group, and I think Lisa has been great at showing, you know, in terms of having faith in our players to get out there and do their job, and also looks at, I guess, the opposition that we're coming up against and who might suit the tactics of what we're trying to do when we get out there. So I think, you know, it'll be these games when we have four games against the same opposition, I feel like it's a bit of a chess game because, you know, you show your hand in one game about what one strategy might look like and then the other team will probably come back and try and counter that the next game. So, I guess you've got to be thinking on the fly to try and come up with things that will, counter what the opposition are putting out there and that sort of plays out across the four games.
With the World Cup disappointment, is it sort of unspoken or is it something the players have talked about? How are you going to handle that?
Yeah, we don't, you know, we definitely address that kind of stuff. We don't kind of sit on it and let it fester or anything like that. So I guess the thing that we've got to be mindful of is that we've got players in the group that weren't there and weren't a part of that group, as much as they still feel the disappointment of the team as well. So yeah, I guess there's a certain level of, we've addressed it. We've all watched the game back. We've tried to take as many learnings out of that specific game as we can. We had two games against them over there. We won one by one goal and we lost one by one goal. So yeah, I guess, you know, we're really trying to narrow down some of those smaller, finer things and making sure that we're making the right decisions at the right moments in time. So. Yeah.
So you obviously talk about the loss, and the loss, it's by the smallest of margins, obviously. Now, people think you have to change so much. Do you feel like there needs to be a big change within the team, or is it simply just about executing better at those critical moments?
Yeah, there's definitely, I guess, that, you know, the thought process of how and why and all of those types of things. But we're definitely... You know, we're not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We're not, you know, literally starting again. It's really, you know, small changes that I think we need to make. So, you know, obviously we're wanting to really, I guess, assert our dominance on, you know, the being world number one, but not having the World Cup. It definitely hurts, and we're using that as a huge driver. But I guess for us, you know, it's getting very close at the pointy end now. There's 3 and 4 teams that are coming within, you know, a couple of goal margin at the top end of world netball at the moment. And so for us, I guess, you know, definitely we're looking at what's going to give us that edge to kind of, you know, gain a bit of ground at the top, so, you know, so that we are that much better again, that teams aren't getting that close to us. But we're constantly working at that kind of stuff, but we're really wanting to kind of, I guess, create some more space for ourselves at that top end as well.
It's an interesting discussion, Caitlin. We've had it a bit on this program with the domination of the Australian women's cricket team, and, you know, they are so good and they are great to watch, but it's not particularly competitive at the moment from an entertainment point of view. Whereas with the netball, you were such a dominant team, you and New Zealand, for such a long period, and there was this craving for more opposition to make it a better spectacle. Now you've got that. It's an interesting time for Australian netball.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's you know, it's great to see that our sport has come so far, and, you know, even specifically in the last 5 years, in terms of the international level, and the fact that the Suncorp Super Netball League, we've got so many internationals, and that's no doubt helping, you know, the international team come into our environment and learn the high performance behaviours and kind of take that back to their teams for the international stuff. So that's amazing, and it's great for the sport. I understand that, but also, as being like a you know, passionate member of the Australian team, we also want to keep that mantle of being on top of the world. So, it's that fine line between, you know, you can understand the broader landscape of it and that it's great for netball in general, but we're still wanting to be the ones holding up the trophy at the end.
No, it makes perfect sense. So these Constellation Cup matches, 2 in New Zealand, where you are at the moment, the first game on Sunday, then Wednesday, and then Sunday, and then Sunday again. How much of a disadvantage is it playing in New Zealand as opposed to playing at home, or it's just a court and it should be the same for whether you're playing home or away?
Yeah, I think you know, the fans over here are so invested in netball, so it's great that we've just got, you know, such amazing support of netball in general. I think probably coming off the back of the World Cup with the Ferns having that win, there'll probably be a bit of a resurgence of the amount of fans and the vocal fans that we'll get here. So but I mean, the rivalry between our two teams, there's it's pretty massive, and we always come over here expecting that, you know, the crowd's not going to be with us, but at the same time they're obviously respectful of good play and things like that. So it's having the two games here, and then we've obviously got our home crowd for the final two games. So it levels out, I guess.
Well, good luck. Hopefully you've got an advantage by the time it comes back to Australia. Have fun over there and win.
Yeah, thanks. That's the plan.